Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
It is a privilege to be here today. And first and foremost, I want to appreciate Jehovah, the one that gives us life, the one who's, it's only by his strength that we are here and alive. We can even be here and we are not even able or capable of voicing out or talking or doing anything. But his strength alone has given us all the abilities that we have. So let's give our hands to the Lord. Let's appreciate him. Let's just tell him that we love him. Let's just let him know that we appreciate him and that we live life only by his grace and that it is only by his help that we are here. Father, we thank you. To God be all the glory. Please, you may be seated. And also, I want to use this opportunity to appreciate Pastor Gifty and her husband. I want to say a very big thank you to you. I appreciate the humility and I appreciate the grace of God upon your life. Even though you're very simple and very humble, I can see the grace of God upon your life. And I've told her that I'll be calling her Orekelewa, because she's very simple and very beautiful. Yes, so her new name is Orekelewa. Amen. I hope Pastor David would not mind me saying that. Right, like she said, my name is Funmi Adeyi, and by the grace of God, I am the founder, I call myself the founder of Lasting Love International, as well as the producer and presenter of Lasting Love with Funmi Adeyi on television, and it's a talk show. I don't know how many people have watched that show before, or praise God. It was formerly on OHTV. OHTV was the Open Heavens television, but unfortunately they went off Sky. But recently, another television, the CEO then now started his own, which is called Fame TV. And Fame TV is 452 on Sky. So you can catch Lasting Love there on Sunday evening, 9 p.m. Sundays, 9 p.m. in the evening. It's also on Thursdays, 4:30. But because I know it's a weekday, many people are still at work. I usually don't advertise that. But Sunday evenings, 9 p.m., you can definitely catch Lasting Love. It's a forum where I bring husband and wife on television and we talk about issues relating to love, attractions, and challenges in marriage. And by the grace of God, everywhere I've been invited to, without me even knowing, it has impacted, it has empowered, it has enlightened people. And the truth is, I just want couples to talk about real stuff. I don't want couples pretending to be without any issues. Life is not without issues, whether we like it or not, whether we are Christians or not. Life throws at us different issues. But it's only the grace of God that makes us to stand and withhold them. So I want couples who will talk about it so that the upcoming ones or a particular couple going through something at that time would be able to learn and be encouraged and be empowered and know that for certainty, if these ones can sail through it and pull through it, then we definitely will pull through it. And this is my message. This is what I do. And also I host an event. It's called Lasting Love International Couples Award. It is not the usual Mr. and Mrs. Beautiful or Mr. and Mrs. Romantic, but it is also some categories where the Holy Spirit helped me to put together so that we can recognize and celebrate certain categories in certain couples. And to the glory of God, it's been amazing. God has given me the privilege of hosting it here in the UK, took it to Canada, took it to Lagos in Nigeria, and the first edition in Atlanta will be holding on the 1st of June. And it is just a way to let people know that people go through stuff. People go through stuff. So we want to recognize and celebrate those ones who've been through it and to showcase them as good role models, as examples worthy of emulation, so that other people can tap into it and believe God. And this is my message in my own little way. Of what God can do through us. So very grateful, Very, very grateful. And I'm grateful for this invitation, like I said. I want to appreciate Tolu as well. Please put your hands together for Tolu. A worthy example, a good role model, I would say as well. Thank you for being on point, on top of your game. Appreciate the humility as well, and the respect is way beyond me, but I really do appreciate you. Thank you. Before we go ahead, I don't want to take too much time. I always start off with icebreakers. It's just a little game. I know Pastor Gifty had done a round of game, but it would just be nice to do something together that would connect us. Can I just know how many people are married here? Okay, quite a few. How many people are with their spouses here? Okay, right. Okay, that's fine. The first game is just going to be for the men. I want the men that are married here. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, we have 4 men here, that's fine. We're going to start with Pastor. He's going to tell us exactly how he proposed to his wife. I hope he remembers. You see, I hope he remembers. We want to know exactly how he proposed, because once when I went talking somewhere and I asked the men how they proposed, and they were like, "Hold on, Mrs. Adeyi, is it the African proposer or the Oyibo one?" I said, which one is Africa, which one is Oyibo? So I want you to please tell us precisely, how did you propose to your wife?
Thank you, ma'am. That's a very simple answer. You know, in our own culture, we don't go, Tolu's era is different, where you have to kneel down and put a ear back. I remember vividly, I was in university, we were doing our master's together in University of Ibadan. And I believe I prayed to God, and I remember that very particular day I went to camp, the redemption camp, and I was coming back. I have a strong feeling in my heart, now this is the bone of my bone, the flesh of my flesh. And so on my way back from the camp, I went straight to our hostel, or what do we call it, is it Awo'o in UI, and I said, "Yes, I believe you will be my wife. I hereby want to say to you, if you don't mind, I want you to be your husband." And by the grace of God, she said she will pray about it. And then she came back with a very positive answer and said, "Yeah, I accept your proposal." Amen.
I love that. Let's put our hands together. Fantastic. Okay, because it is not a very large crowd, I'll actually do this. Pastor Gifty, were you expecting him to propose when he did?
Because I was cooking for him. Praise the Lord. It's like I was actually reading in between lines before that. This brother that is always coming to eat rice and beans here, he will come and say something. So when he came that day, he just stood by the window and said, "You are my wife." I said, "I knew you would come."
So, okay, my question to you now is that, what was your response? How did you respond?
I just told him, let me go and pray about it, and I'll get back to you.
So when you did?
Yeah, I told him yes.
Oh, praise God. Let's put our hands together. How long did you pray for?
I think it was about 3 months, because we got married about 6 months after.
Oh, amazing. Okay, all right, let me come to you, sir. How did you propose to your, how long have you been married for now? 17 years. So how exactly did you propose to her?
Thank you very much. We were in the choir together.
Sorry?
We were in the same church, and then a member of choir. So we used to, to meet. Although it was in a place called Ibadan in Nigeria. So although I was schooling at Ife, but during the weekend I would come over to Ibadan, you know, to fellowship. So we're in the choir, and you know, you have options, so to say. And then I have been praying, just to be honest, and then I was about to travel to come over to the to UK, you know, to further my study. And the question then was, so are you going to, you know, get married before you, you know, you leave the country? And I prayed, and God said, no, Ashu, this is your wife. But I was a bit shy, so I don't know how to do the to approach. But have to, you know, after much prayer, I have to, you know, summon on courage. And after the choir practice, one Friday, I know she was, you know, going back home, and then I just said, well, today's the day, you know. I just have to do it, you know. So I just, on our way, she was about to cross the road over, you know, to her place. I was following her. So, and I just said, oh, sister, please. And then she stood there, and I said, you know, we don't have much rapport, so it's a bit, you know, strange. And I said, well, I've been praying, and I have been led, so to make this proposal, I want you to be, you know, my future partner, to be my wife. And I will give you, you know, the opportunity to go and pray about it. So, and you can come back to me and let me know. So, Beth, please, I don't have time. so I don't have time, please. And few weeks after, maybe a week or two, and then she came back and said, okay, no, it's okay.
And how were you? How did you feel?
Yeah, I was happy, very, very happy, you know, because, no, I wasn't expecting a straight answer, you know, from the teaching. You know, we've been, you know, listening to the teachings, and all the sister would come and said, no, I still need more time to pray, and all that. So I was waiting for that, you know, preparing for that. But when she came and said that, she has prayed, and God said, that was it. So I was so happy.
Thank you, sir. Ma, how did you feel? Were you expecting the proposal?
Well, from my family background, I'm shy. I'm still shy, but when I see some people, I flow with them. You know, when I was growing up, they always tell me you are too shy. You need somebody that will sharpen you, you know? Somebody that can talk. If you marry somebody that cannot talk, it won't sound well. So I noticed that he'd been trying to come closer to me. I was like, no, I can't date somebody that is quiet, because he was too quiet. He's still quiet, if you know him very well, very quiet. But he has the fear of God. That was the first thing I noticed about him, that this man is a God-fearing. He's God-fearing. And I started praying, you know, he wants to come to me, I will dodge. That, no, not now. But my mind was like, Yetunde, this is your husband. Go and be praying. You know, and my mommy and my sisters, because I had three sisters in the choir as well. And like yesterday, I could notice this brother. He's like, he likes you. I would say, leave me alone. Let me follow the will of God. I want the will of God in my marriage. I don't want to fail in the area of marriage, you know. So that time I was like, God, let me be praying. And in my mind too, I said, Yetunde is not a matter of being outspoken. It's somebody that has the fear of God that you should go for. And I started praying, and I couldn't sleep. You know, I was seeing in my dream. I went to my mommy. I said, mommy, it's like this man is going to be my husband. But I don't know. My mommy says, don't worry. Just go and be praying. So when he came to me, I was like, God, you are in control. And that was it. And since that time, I've never regretted it. So God be the glory. He has been my, thank God for you.
Wow, I love that. Our time is going, so I'll just take you as a fine. I guess you are a young couple, aren't you? How long have you been married for?
7 years.
Oh, okay, yes. So please tell us. I know your own kind of proposal will be different because you are quite modern. So how exactly did you propose to your wife?
These are not modern. Oh, well, like you rightly said, every story is different. It doesn't have to follow a particular design. So we initially met at the University of Glamorgan. She did my master's, and I was doing my master's, I think. And, you know, she used to come to our house to meet friends and everything, and we were attending the same church, All Nations Church, together and everything. So many things in between, hello, how are you, blah, blah, blah. And we got closer, and unknowing to me, there were things I was saying, especially, you know, when you think you kind of, I like this sister and everything. And she was asking me questions, sharing what is it? And I said, I mentioned some specific word, grace of God, love of God, and is it fellowship of grace or something like that? She now said, I didn't know what the chord that struck in her. And she said to me later that, Shagun, and I think she showed me that this is exactly what I was expecting, that the man that would be my wife, that would be my husband, to say, to bring, these are the things, and you've said it. I didn't know. And that was exactly what I brought. And that was the spiritual side, but the physical side. After so many, I have to go to London, look for a job, blah, blah, blah. And at the end, the actual proposal, which is the formality, was in my cousin's house, so I had to invite her over, say, oh, let us just go and greet them and say hello. But I've spoken to my brother, my sister, that they should meet us there. She didn't know that people were gonna come. I bought the ring, I did everything, and so we were eating, and suddenly I said, hello everybody, I have something to say, you know. So I went on my knees with the will you be mine? So I did, that's where I did the proposal, and so that's
it. Please give it to her quickly. Were you expecting the proposal?
Not at all.
So how did you feel when you saw what you did?
I took a while because I felt
it was a shock.
Yeah.
So you didn't say yes there?
I did, but it took a while. Everybody was like, please now, what is that want? Because I felt I needed more time. And I felt it's embarrassing. The family and the mother in Nigeria was on maybe video. They were, you know, so everybody was as if I was under pressure to say yes.
But you did anyway.
I did.
No regrets.
No regrets.
Oh, praise
God. You see, I knew that the younger couple will have a different proposal approach rather than the one who just went to our hostel and said, will you marry me? You know, praise God. And I know the time is far gone, but just one more game in 5 minutes. We should be done with that. I want to enlighten us on something. And during the course of the enlightenment, we would be doing the game. How many of us have heard about what is called love language? Love language. Okay, that's good. Love language. Love languages, unfortunately, a lot of us did not actually know what it is or what it was then until we got married. And this is very, very essential for young people, single people, to have an in-depth understanding of what love language is or what they are, only because it helps in the marriage. When you know who you are going to be married to and you know what their love language or love languages are, it helps you to have a very beautiful language, marriage, because you know exactly what he wants, what he desires, you know what will ticks him, what would excite him, and it just makes the journey very, very faster. It makes it faster. So according to Gary Chapman, love languages are those things that we all possess that makes us, that excite us, that makes our head swell, that makes us to want to do whatever you can do for your wife. They are love languages, but they have been put in different categories. Okay, I'll quickly run through them.
Number one, words of affirmation. I want you to listen because I would want everybody, the married ones, it's good for single people to have an understanding as well so that later they know exactly, but I'm going to be asking the married people. The first one is words of affirmation. And words of affirmation is that those beautiful words that you say to people that makes their head swell. Kai, they are words of affirmation. They are positive words. My darling, oh, you're so beautiful. I love what you're wearing. I love your shape. Wow, you're so brilliant. Did you cook this meal? It's so nice. It's all this. Those are positive words, words of affirmation. When you say such words to people, it doesn't annoy them. It doesn't upset them. What does it do? It excites them. It makes them happy. These are words of affirmation. The next one is act of service. Act of service is with the things you do for your spouse that makes them happy. For example, like Mama was saying the other time, your husband comes home and you see your wife cooking and there are dishes in the sink and the man goes there and does all that and gets the kids and wash them up and sort them out. Of course, a wife will be happy. And in fact, when you start calling the wife, hey, my dear, let's go, with all pleasure, sharp, sharp. That is an act of service, rendering help to your spouse. The things you will do that will make your spouse happy, that's act of service. And the third one, quickly, there are five of them, is receiving gifts. There are some people that love gifts. Well, don't do anything for them. Don't do house chores for them. No words of affirmation. Just buy me gift. Eh? They love it and it goes a long way. Individuals, we have different things. We have different things. Some people love, my husband is coming home. He, on the way, he saw yam, fruit, onions, and he buys them and brings them. Ah, you will start hearing them psyching the husband only because that wife, I mean the husband, has actually used the love language. And it goes a long way. That is act of service. The other one, the fourth one, is quality time. Quality time is the me time. The time spent with your spouse. No interference. No TV. No phones. Nothing. It's just the two of you together. There are people who love that. I love quality time with my husband as well. I don't want anybody. I don't want him looking at NTA news or anything. I just want, it has to be just the two of us. That is quality time. And the last one is physical touch. Of course, we all know what that is. That is intimacy. We know that this is very, most of the time, it's always with the men. But of course, we have lots of women too who love the physical touch. So just running through physical touch, quality time, receiving gift, act of service, and words of affirmation. Whether you know it or not, everyone has this quality. The only other thing is that maybe it is not discovered. It's possible that people, that's what I said, that many of us, while we were in a single stage, we didn't know nothing about marriage. The only thing we knew was that we'll finish primary school, secondary school, our institution, and just get married. But all the essentials that were supposed to be known when it came to marriage, we didn't know. But by His grace, we're just where we are and what we are. So, but all these are very important when you're talking about marriage. So just in 5 minutes, I'm going to just let you, I mean, this is a marriage or family stuff. I want you to just tell me, what is your own love language? It's just for you to share with other people so that we know you know. Just think about it. The act of service, is it what you like? Is yours receiving of gift? Is it physical touch? Do you like words of affirmation? That is sauri ebai. You know, that's done. It's a done deal. Is it words of affirmation? Is it physical touch? So we're just going to be running through. I'm going to start with my pastor as well. Yes, pastor. Just say it out.
Okay, for me, I think what I love to do or what I expect, is that question?
Yours. what you want to see done to you.
Okay.
Yes.
For me,
your love language.
I think the best thing I would probably want is quality time.
Quality time. The truth is, yes, thank you very much, sir, quality time. The truth is, many times we have more than one. We have two, we have three, depending on individual. But this time, let's just take the one that has the most, the quality that you think is the most in your life. So with Pastor, he said, is quality time. Okay, we'll let Pastor Gifty come back. Is she here? Ah, she's running away. She doesn't want to say it.
What is your
love language?
Acts of service and quality time.
Act of service and quality time. Okay. Just say it out.
Oh, yeah. Mine would have to be act of service.
Act. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. He has changed. Okay, what do you think it is now?
Words of affirmation.
Thank you. All right, sir.
Quality time.
Okay. Act of service and quality time. Okay. Words of affirmation and act of service. Okay. Gifts. Of course. Why not? Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Act of service and quality time.
Okay, ma. Words of affirmation and quality time. Yes, sir. Quality time. Okay. Words of affirmation. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. I know people have been running away from that. You know what I'm saying? Physical touch, words of affirmation. Okay, yes. Who else wants to talk here? What's your love language? Yes. Gift and act of service. Okay. It has to be physical touch. All right, ma'am, what is yours, your love language? You just came in. Did you start with us? You understand what we're saying? It has to be. Yes, ma'am. Words of affirmation. That is actually very deep. So you get gift, you don't get words of affirmation, and you fantastic. You see, the truth about it, I'm actually happy she's mentioning this, is that a lot of men do not know what their wife's love language is. They don't know, they don't have an idea. So now that you know what you want, there is nothing wrong. Sit down with your husband and tell him. He knows. You know what? I agree with that, because unfortunately our African men, some of them are not trained into expressing. They just assume that you want me to be telling you that I love you. Don't. Yes, sis. Sorry? Oh, okay. I'm coming. Okay. You see, our African men, we think, how many times do you want me to say it? I love you is I love you. Which one is it? I love you again. Am I not by your side? Don't I give you money? But you see, these things are very important. I want to hear it. I mean, the truth is, my husband is like, okay, before this man goes, hello, sir. Do you want to share your love language? Where's your wife here? You are so funny here. All right, sir. What is your love language?
Food.
even have a response. I don't know what to say. Anyway, I don't know where to categorize that. There are people at the back, but I think they're running away. Pastor said they should come out. They're running away. Okay, well, let me just quickly round off with that to let you know that it is good for you to sit your spouse down and discuss these things. Whatever you like, whatever you desire, whatever would excite you, this is your spouse. There's no harm in telling him. Let him know that he should give it to me. He doesn't have to pay. He doesn't have to bribe you. The moment you, it's like a bone and socket joint. When they meet together, you know, it just ignites like that. That's the best thing. So let's cultivate it. Our men are not actually, well, like I was saying, my husband is a very quiet man as well. He believes, just like my sister said, I'm sitting with you now, you're thinking I don't love you. What other thing do you want? But every time I tell him, tell me, just soften me. I want to hear it. And over the years, he has learned in such a way that he even teaches me now. You know, this is important. So please read more about the 5 love languages, and that will help you. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Let's move on swiftly now. I do apologize. And today we are supposed to be talking about togetherness. Please tell me when time is over. Please, just give me some signs. We're talking about togetherness. And the foundational scriptures today has been taken from Psalm 133, verse 1 and 2, which says how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. How good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. The first thing that comes to mind is, what does it mean for people to dwell together in unity? Or what does it mean? What does togetherness mean? I know Pastor Gifty mentioned a few things. Togetherness, when you have the spirit of togetherness, when you are, it's like your spirit unites, it's unity in essence. It is being in one accord. It is having the same value. It is having the same target. It is focusing on the same thing. It is having the same heart of achieving a purpose. That is togetherness. A husband and wife can be at home and not be together. It's possible for them not to be united. In church, there are people there are churches where the members are just on their own. There's no togetherness. There are family members, the parents and the children, that are not together in the spirit. They're just on their own. You can easily see the trait in such family. But what the scriptures encourages today, like we all know, is that how good and pleasant it is when brethren, when families, when spouses, when couples, when family members, the extended families, dwell together in love, in unity. When I try to look up the definition, it says here, togetherness is a feeling of satisfaction derived from partnering with someone. The feeling of satisfaction. Whether you partner with your spouse at home, whether we know it or not, it's partnership. Whether you have a friend, whether it's a sibling, whether it's a work colleague or in church, it is that kind of satisfaction, that desire that is inside of you. It is a desire of accomplishment. It is of satisfaction. It is one that tells you that you have done something well together. Today. That is togetherness. It's a feeling of satisfaction derived from partnering with somebody. No wonder the scriptures backs this up. In several instances, several scriptures from the Bible, which I will be quoting quickly, it says, for example, the creation, Genesis 2:8, God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. Let us make an helpmeet that is suitable." We all know the story of creation. After God had created the heavens and the firmament and the trees and everything, and he created Adam, and he looked at Adam, and it was very conspicuous that Adam was very lonely. Not even the animals, the higher animals, the lower one could actually equate with him. He could not relate with him, with them. Even though, yes, the animals, he named them, but they did not belong to the same level. And at this junction, God actually thought to him, it is not good that a man should be alone. Let us make an helpmate. So God desires that we would not be alone. God desires that we would have partnership with somebody in marriage or at different times. It is not good for us to just be alone. And the Bible says, let us make an helpmate that is suitable. That is for marriage. Also, if you remember vividly, it says here, it says, realizing the potent force in agreement, he taught his servant, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching something that they shall ask, it shall be done. That is instruction in Matthew chapter 18, 19 to 20. It was God's instruction that if two of you, two or three, can agree together on something, I will do it. That means that when there is unity, togetherness, as regards anything, God honors them. God honors them. Also, in Luke chapter 10, verse 1, the Lord appointed 72 people. And you know, when he appointed all of them, 72 of them, and he wanted to send them out, you know what he did? He did not send them out individually. He paired them up. There are blessings that comes with pairing up. There are blessings that comes with you being in partnership with somebody or with other people. There are blessings that comes when you are in unity, in one accord, when you are in agreement with somebody. So Jesus did not send them into the earth or into the world to as fishers of men all by themselves. He partnered them, he paired them up with some other people. So this is just to let you know that when it comes to togetherness, it is God's desire that you are not by yourself. It is God's desire that you have people around you that you can partner with. And I just want to quickly divide this into subgroups. I want to quickly talk about togetherness in marriage to start with. Togetherness in marriage. Like I rightly said earlier, it is God's intention, God's idea of marriage. I am one of those activists that believes that very soon, by the grace of God, some Christian stuff should be introduced into the curriculum, even right from secondary school. Only because it is important for our young people to have an in-depth understanding of what marriage entails. Like I rightly said the other time, I said that many of us went into marriage thinking that it is just the right time. From primary to secondary to higher institution, and after that, just get married. In fact, as a matter of fact, when you finish university or you went to your youth service here like we do in Nigeria and you have not found yourself a spouse, you will be in trouble with your parents. You know the way they will be pulling you and bothering you and asking you questions as if you don't do it at that time, you will die or you will go to hell. And unfortunately, a lot of those people do not have an in-depth understanding of what it entails to actually go into marriage. I am of the opinion that someday this basic foundational stuff will be introduced into the curriculum so that from secondary school, people would understand exactly what it means to be married. By the grace of God, I travel everywhere to speak to young couples, to speak with young people, and some of the things, very misleading ideologies, is the fact that they place the wedding day ahead of marriage. It's unbelievable. They tell you, when some of them got, there was a particular couple who got married, and I was asking her, what exactly were the plans for the wedding? Oh, she told me from when they started putting plans together for the wedding. And then I asked her, what about plans for marriage? What counseling did you go for? And what other things did you put together? None. None at all. She said, we know everything. There's no big deal. We go to church, so we hear it in church. But don't you hear about weddings on TV? the wedding day and all that, event planning on TV. But you put so much emphasis on the wedding day as against the marriage. This is a wrong ideology, and unfortunately, this is the in thing in our society. I also do event planning, so I know a lot of these things that they are placed way ahead of the important things, unfortunately. So what I'm saying is that it is important for people to actually have an understanding of what marriage all entails. One of the other reasons why I do my International Couples Awards is I want people to know that life is not just very easy. The fact that we are Christians does not exclude us from challenges. The fact that we are Christians does not exclude us from failures. Life throws different things at us. The very first time I filmed, it was actually this guy called Lama Tyler in the US, and he was telling me, he was categorically stressing the fact that there will be storms. I almost said, I thought you are a Christian. Why can't you be talking like this? He stressed the fact that there will be storms. That he said, Fumi, if you don't have the storms yet, get ready. And I was like, God forbid. God forbid. But I was joking. Life throws different things at us. So it is important for us to have that in-depth understanding that at any time, things just happen. But what do you do? Many times, preparation is key. When you are prepared, physically, emotionally, spiritually, when you are prepared ahead of time, yes, the storms will come, but at least they will meet you. They will meet you fully ready. It's not as if it won't hit you. It will, but at least it will still make you, it will leave you standing. So that's one of the reasons why I do my show. And why I'm saying this is that when you have somebody that you are partnering with in marriage, when you have somebody that you are in agreement with in marriage, it goes a long way. Because I know that it helps. When you have a partner that you can pray with, when you have a partner that you can talk to, that is why in the first instance, the choice of a man or the choice of a wife is very, very important. That's another aspect that has to be looked into. I want to believe that we all know that it is important for us not to look at the physical attributes alone in taking decisions of a spouse. It's not as if it's not good. It's good. The first thing, because we are human, the first thing is that when you meet a man or a woman, you're physically attracted to such a person. So it's the physical attraction that is key. But beyond the physical attraction, before you decide on who you would marry, it is important to actually allow God to lead you. Because a lot of people have made such great mistakes that it is actually impossible for them to take it back, unfortunately. But when you seek God, when you let God do the choosing for you, many times when you're dating or when you meet a person, especially maybe as an undergraduate, you know there is nothing to show for it. The young men as undergraduate, we all wear the same trousers. Maybe the ladies are even better off. You know, maybe some of us even actually gave our fiancés or boyfriends then. Maybe we even borrowed their money to tell you that they didn't have nothing then. But it is not enough to judge them. Because as far as I'm concerned, the future has loads of many opportunities ahead. So in the choice of a man, please, let's not just depend on the physical appearance alone. Let's believe, and then it is key for us to pray and be led and be sure. I am happy with some of the feedbacks that you have given about the choice of your spouse. You prayed about it, you had that conviction in your spirit. Because in life, when things happen, you have somebody you go back to. So we're talking about marriage, the blessings of togetherness in marriage. It is important. Hey, whoa. Okay, thank you. The blessings of togetherness in marriage. It is important for you to seek God. Because when you seek God in the choice of a spouse, it makes life easier. We're talking about partnering together in marriage. When you have a spouse, your spouse is somebody that you can pray with. Your spouse is somebody that you can talk with. If you have a spouse that you cannot pray with, it can be very hard. It can be very difficult. Because when you have somebody you can agree with, like the Bible says here, that if two shall agree together, it goes a long way. It's like putting manure, fertilizer on a plant. It grows speedily. That is the advantage of having somebody who is God's chosen as a partner. Also, it says the blessing of togetherness in marriage. Here I said, it boosts confidence and trust. When you're partnering with somebody in your marriage, when you have a spouse that you are in good connection with, it boosts your confidence. It boosts your trust. You know that you have somebody you can talk to. By the grace of God, when my husband is coming from work, or even when he has any gist, and I see his number, his call, at any time in the afternoon, I know he has a gist for me. I know that something fantastic has happened. That is the kind of partnership. That is what should happen between couples. When the only person you want to give that gist to is your spouse. That is partnership. It boosts your confidence. It boosts your, confidence, I was going to say. It also boosts your trust. When you know that you can always trust your spouse. Unfortunately, we have spouses that default at different times. May we not fall into the wrong hands. Amen. And may we not be tempted above what we can handle. Yes, yes, temptations does come. In life, if anybody says to you that if your husband has not been tempted before, my husband can never be tempted. I'm sorry for you. The only other thing we have to be doing is to lifting each other up at every time. One of my friends mentioned many years ago then, they just got married then, and her husband, a medical doctor, had gone to work, was working night shift, very, very devoted Christians. But unfortunately, the night nurse on duty started tempting him. Of course, the nurse knew what she wanted, and she started tempting first night, second night, third night. Of course, the man told his wife that there's this nurse at work. If I have my way, I wouldn't want to work with her anymore. And you know, they would just gist over it. When you get to work, just ignore her. Just ignore her. Just don't give her any attention. But it wasn't that easy. It wasn't that easy, especially if he's a very beautiful nurse. Unfortunately, the nurse, night nurse, won the guy over. Sadly, won the guy over. And of course, you know sin, the way sin works. The first time you sin, there's this guilt inside of you. There's this guilt, you really want to repent. You really want to tell God, I'm sorry. But if you don't repent immediately, when you have the opportunity of sinning again, by the second time, you just feel it's normal. It's okay. There's no big deal. It's like an official job. You have access to money. And the first time in Nigeria, you steal 500,000. And nobody caught you and you didn't repent of it. The other time, you have another opportunity. You steal 1 million. And nobody checks you. No, you're not caught. No repentance. The next time another opportunity comes, you steal 2 million. You know, gradually, this time, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. That's the way sin works. And so, unfortunately, this man, the first night, they started having intimacy together at work. The second night, throughout that week. So, the desire to even mention it to his wife didn't come up again. He just lived with it. And it became no big deal anymore. Unfortunately, the lady was really getting happy and having a hang of it. And she started boasting about it around. And I think the Holy Spirit did not leave this man, even though he was sinning. He knew that his end would end in destruction if he continued. And then, after about 1 month of adultery, I would say, he decided to mention it to his wife. And of course, you know women. When my friend was telling me that, I'm going to fight him. I'm going to kick him out. I'm going to show him that he's a bastard. You know, all that. But of course, we had to encourage him that, look, just be quiet and just be at peace. Calm down. The fact that this man can actually come back to you to tell you, the only person, the number one person he owes an apology is God. And if he's ready to apologize to God, yours is a second one. Why am I saying this? Is that when sin creeps in, it takes you off balance. But you have to be on guard with each other so that you would be able to trust one another. Nobody is above sin. It is important for spouses to be able to trust one another. But the devil hangs around to see, are you still trusting one another? I'm going to throw something at you. So be your spouse keeper. Let this be known that your spouse can fall. You yourself can fall. Don't think as a woman that you can fall. You can fall. Not to talk of men. Men too can fall. But be your spouse keeper. Let your spouse be able to talk to you about something that he's been through. Or that ill treatment. Or no, the temptation that he's been through. If you don't give him the opportunity, he won't tell you. He won't tell you if you don't give him that opportunity. So togetherness in marriage, when you are together, in one spirit, when you have that connection, it boosts trust. Even when you fall, you still have somebody to go back to. That is in marriage. Togetherness in marriage gives contentment. When you have a connection, when you're united with your spouse, it brings contentment. You're satisfied. It's like somebody outside, you know, when you're hungry, you're coming from work and you're very hungry. Anything that is offered to you, do you know you eat it? For example, many times I'm always on a diet. Every day I'm always on a diet. But for example, let's say I've been on my usual diet and I'm really starving. And somebody now offers me puff puff. You know how we eat it? Because I'm starving and I'm supposed to be on a diet. I will eat the puff puff. And somebody else gives me chin chin again. I will eat it because I'm starving. But you see, if you have a togetherness, when you have the spirit of togetherness with your husband, there is contentment. You're not starved of anything. There is love. There is intimacy. There is beauty around you. You have everything in your marriage only because of the connection. But when you deprive one another of certain things that you should be in that marriage, your spouse is starved. And any cheap thing outside would actually attract him. Any cheap, unhealthy stuff outside would attract him. So, but when you have the spirit of togetherness, when you have that connection, when you have that oneness, when there is one accord, you are full to the fullest. When anybody offers you, when you're full, imagine at home, you've just eaten pounded yam with egusi, and you had juice and fruit. You know there's no room for any extra thing. And anybody brings a fried rice with chicken, with salad and all that. Will you eat it? Nah, because you are full. That is what togetherness in marriage does. Contentment. You don't need extra. You don't need extra. Togetherness in marriage, it also improves sexual drive. It improves sexual drive in the sense that when you have a connection, you're not deprived of intimacy at home. You're not deprived. I like it when it was one of my, myself and my, some of my friends, we were chatting the other day, and we were actually making fun of ourselves that, hang on a minute, we never caught our parents in this act though. They knew how to, I'm talking from myself and my friends. I don't know about other opinion. But maybe back in those days, they were so contented with, the connection was so there that you would not even sense anything was going on around them. it improves sexual activity, sex drive, togetherness. There's a way they connect together in spirit, in body, in soul. It upgrades it without even talking or anywhere, right? Without talking, sharp. They've gone ahead and they are out. So that is what togetherness does within marriage. And I'm actually happy that one of the things that I do with my Lasting Love International Award, there's a particular category that is called tenacity. And this tenacity is in the area of couples holding on in the face of a childless, or rather a long battle of desire to have children. There's a desire to have children, but the children are not forthcoming. I've always awarded couples since 2016. Initially, when the Lord dropped that spirit into me and said I should actually award and celebrate and recognize couples in this category, I said to myself, where will I get them? Where will I get couples that are waiting? Even if I get them, how many of them will come out and say it as it is? But I was wrong. Last year, I had a couple who waited 27 years before their triplet came, and they came out to come and celebrate it. It was actually on BBC that I spotted them. They were on BBC News, and I saw them. I started looking out for them. I didn't know they were actually at Winners Chapel, not very far away from me. And then it was our 50th birthday then, and their triplets came. Why am I saying this is that when you have togetherness, even in the face of adversity, you stand by each other. It's hard, it's difficult, it's sad, it's frustrating, it's not a happy thing at all, especially when you see the younger ones coming and sharp, they're having children. It's not pleasant. But a couple who is highly connected, even in the face of those adversity, they will still stand together. And God laid it on my mind to celebrate them. So last year we said, the one we celebrated this year in the Tenacity Award, mind-blowing. A couple who's been married for, even though they were married for 20 years, but they married late into their 30s. The husband was in his early 40s, and the wife was in her late 30s. I'm talking about connection now, togetherness, standing tall in the face of adversity. This couple, she was in her late 30s, and the husband was in his early 40s. And what happened? What happened was that the man told his story. He said that the night of their wedding, that just as they were sleeping, dozing up here in London, not back home, in London, that he saw a demon sit on their windowsill and said to them, we will see how you would have children. And then he said to us that, I was not dreaming, no. And then he came back to life and thought, what? Of course, as Christians that they are, they started praying. They prayed fervently. Of course, they got pregnant the first time. They lost the baby. The second time they got pregnant with twins, they lost the baby again. And the desire or the hard work to have another baby never proved positive. Babies were not forthcoming anymore. Until this year, when the lady turned 55. It's on my Facebook page because we just did the baby dedication. Until 55, the husband is going to be 60 this month. Their first baby came. But you know what? They have a connection, togetherness, through thick and thin. They have decided that children are secondary. Yes, very key, very important. But peradventure, if God decides it's not going to release, they will still be together, connected regardless. Connection, togetherness, one accord, unity is very key in marriage. It takes you above challenges. It takes you on top of challenges. It puts you abreast of situations. And that is what togetherness in marriage does. Let me quickly rush through the second point. That's togetherness as a family. When I talk about family, I'm talking about the father now, the mother, and the children. We know what life is all about now in the UK with children, teenagers, who has been given so much right and parental restrictions removed. And you know what kind of lifestyle that does. But even in the midst of that, we as Christians, we still have to know that it is important for us to have that togetherness as a family. May we not lose our children. There's an, it's not an adage. There's a prayer, because I attend a Yoruba praying church. And one of the prayers that my pastor says, I'm going to say it in Yoruba and then I'm going to interpret it. It says, that may this country, may the rules, the laws, not take our children. Because it is possible, in fact, it has in many cases, with some people, it has. I remember vividly that, you know, there's a place in London, I'm trying to remember, Tottenham. I think that was where the fire thing first started. I thought they were just misbehaving around and they started, anyway, the fire thing started, they started burning and they started touching houses, shops, and with all that. And you know what the government said at that time? They called on parents, call your children home. Can you imagine? Call your children home. But you see, a family that is closely knit, closely connected with their children, will such children be found there? Not at all. It is important for that spirit of togetherness to be raised in that in a family. And I'm going to quickly run through some points. It says togetherness in marriage, in a family, it reduces violence. Both violence outside or even, because you know what? Children copy what parents do. Children, they copy. When you see children rehearse or play role plays, when they do role plays, most of the time they start off with the fathers and the mothers. They start off with what daddy and mommy does at home. And that's what they do as role plays. So whatever you do, the kind of lifestyle, the kind of relationship, the unity, the accord, the oneness that you practice in your family, that is exactly what your children would master to start off with before they have external relationship outside. So it reduces bad behaviors and violence. No child brought up under good, great tutelage, under love, under unity, will start misbehaving outside. There was a time I went for a training, and all the young people there, they were smartly dressed. I was telling my daughter, we went for the training together. I was telling my daughter, they were all smartly dressed. None of their trousers were sagging. They were all dressed very smartly. You will know that they are career people. You can easily detect where those kids grew up from. The other example I gave you about this Tottenham, when parents were being called to call their children, ask them, where are their parents? Even they themselves, those kids' parents, they're nowhere to be found. Maybe are the pops just being lazy around, idle? So what else do you expect from such families? So what I'm saying in essence is that togetherness as a family is very key. Let us, if you don't know how to do it, pray it. Let God give you the idea. Let God give you the strategy. Let God give you the how to do it so that you can build and bring your children in the fear of the Lord and in the way of the Lord. And it says another one, it says togetherness strengthens family bond within the family. We know families who are living together. There's an adage that says a family that prays together stays together. A family that prays together stays together. Of course, when you see a family, when you see kids on television, I mean on Facebook, we saw those videos of young chaps. They read the Bible verses, they pray, and you're like, wow, how did they know that? They get it from home. I remember this story vividly, and it was many years ago as a young child. My father is a retired lecturer at the university. Then those years, he was on sabbatical leave to another state within Nigeria. And so he would come home on Friday and go back home on Sunday. So this day, we were all, I have to say that I was brought home in a very strict Christian background. Very, very strict, that to wear earrings was a taboo. You can't wear earrings. To palm your hair or to fix weave on, lie, it doesn't happen. Okay, so to give you an idea, but Christians. So one day, my father came home on a Friday, and he was going back on a Sunday. But that Sunday, we all went to church and came back. And the usual thing after church, mommy will pack all his soup and stew for the week and do all that for him to take away. And as a family, like we usually did, we prayed, and he left. Just as he left, we closed the gate, and we went back inside. Just as we got in, mommy realized that all the food, the soup that she had made and prepared, daddy did not take it with him. It was all left in the kitchen, like, whoops. And of course, those days, there were no mobile phones, nothing. And we thought, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And mommy said, okay, give me my car keys. Let me trace him. Let me drive and run after him. Unfortunately, because we all went to church in daddy's car, mommy's car keys was in daddy's safe. So even we going to school the following day will be very difficult. And we were kids then. But you know what? Because of the spirit of connection, togetherness that we've been raised with as a family, praying together, mommy said, now kids, everybody come out. Now we're going to ask God to bring daddy back home now. Wherever he is, daddy has to go, come back. He's driven out for maybe 10 minutes. Daddy has to come back. And as kids that we are, but we've been raised up with that. We've been raised up in such a way that God answers our prayers, that there is nothing impossible for God to do. So with that mindset, all of us, daddy, wherever you are, come back. Daddy, wherever you are, come back. Even the Larondos among us, they were screaming, daddy, come back. Daddy, come back. We were screaming. And all of a sudden, I stand before God. My parents are still alive. All of a sudden, you know the usual beeping of horns to show arrival. Pa-pam-pam, pa-pam-pam-pam. And daddy just came back, and we were alarmed. And we started screaming, praise, and we were jumping around. And he was surprised. He said, what happened? What's going on? And we said, why did you come back? Mommy said, why did you come back? He said he was driving along, and something just kept telling him that he forgot something. And he could not figure it out because he was already getting late. It was getting to evening. He said, at the next roundabout, he just make a U-turn. He said, let me just quickly dash home. And we said, really? And mommy said, wait. And she opened the car safe and look at my key. How would I go to work? How would the kids get to school? And then he said, and for information, all the soup and the food that I made, they're all in the kitchen. And then he just packed them and left. What am I saying? God honored the days of togetherness and impacting those things into our lives. It went a long way. So togetherness, connection, being in one accord, being in unity, serving together, and infusing all those things in the life of your children is very key. There are more benefits, advantages, benefits that comes out as a result of that compared with the other one. And lastly, because I know that my time is actually gone. Oops. The last one that I will quickly talk about, lastly, is the blessings of togetherness in churches amongst friends. I call it the general togetherness. It is important, and let me just mention this, that we be in one accord as a church. It is important that we be in one accord as a church. That is the only way God answers prayers. You see, I am very careful when I go to churches, because, especially African churches, because of the way we pray, and even between the pastor and his wife, they're not in one accord. And you're just stressing yourself for nothing. If the pastor and his wife are in one accord, the pastors and the elders, they're not in one accord. If the pastors and the elders are in one accord, the congregation and the pastors, they are at loggerheads. And you keep praying, and there is no open heavens. I don't want to stress myself. I can't be bothered to stress myself. There has to be togetherness as individuals. If the Lord has led you to a church like this, present yourself as holy sacrifices before God. Make up your mind that you're going to act in true connection with the church, with the pastors, with other members. There are a lot of benefit that comes as a result of that. The heaven is always open. For churches where there are no connections, the heaven is closed. And that's why you don't have testimonies. There was a time we were attending a church that to give a testimony, hey, the moment you give that testimony, that's the end of it. That thing would not happen again. Oh, yes, I can say this. When I first came to London, and I'm doing a roundup with this, sorry, ma'am. When I first came to London, typical African woman that I am, I nearly got married then. And one of the ladies in church, she was not my friend then, she's my friend now. They came. And she said the year before, a woman of God came and she prophesied that things were going to happen. And one of the prophecies was that this, my friend, was going to have children. And because she's been longing for children for a while. And so, lo and behold, at that time, the pastor, the minister of God, came back. I was in that church. And this, my friend, had gotten pregnant. And exactly with the prophecy that she was going to have twin baby boys. And she was pregnant with twins, baby boys. And then she, while the woman of God was talking, she raised up her hand, that, oh, prophet, I want to thank God. I want to thank God that, you know, last year when you came, you said this, you said that. And I have to say that to go to the glory of God. My twin baby boys are in my tummy. To be honest with you, as a typical African woman, newly coming from Nigeria, I didn't like it. I was like, eh? I said to my husband, eh? She's pregnant and she's telling everybody. Ah! And one of my friends said, you know, this is England. This is England. It doesn't happen like that, really? I said, God forbid. I will never, ever do that. You know what? That week, those pregnancies came down. I said this before God. Those pregnancies came down. A church where there is no connection, no one accord, no unity, everyone just standing by themselves. Those things are real. Such churches, you have closed heavens. You just pray, nothing happens. But I challenge you today. If the Lord has brought you here as a child, and if you're a child of God, make up your mind to allow the Spirit of the Lord to walk with you, to walk in you, so that you can have close relationship with the Holy Spirit. And if He does, of course, to have connection with the church. And I round up with this. You can ask your question, how can you have that spirit of togetherness? It is God that gives that grace. It is the grace of God that works. If God has called the men of God and the man of God, the set man and the woman in the house, He gives the grace. But you as an individual, make up your mind as well that you're not going to allow the devil to use you. That you're not going to allow the flesh to use you. Some people unusually argue. They just argue unnecessarily. They argue about every little thing. It's just argue about every little thing. What's there to argue? You don't agree with the men of God, just go and ask God. Just go back to God and tell God to shed light on it. But they just argue, they just fight. And then after I say, let's pray, let's all dance together. We can pray. The heaven is always usually closed. So I want to challenge us to round up. I want you to know that God is the orchestrator of togetherness. It pleases Him that we don't walk lonely, as He has said it in marriage. He actually said it as well, telling people to go out two by two in twos. And He's saying it, if God has rooted you here, you should have a divine connection so that prayers will be answered. I want to believe that you have been blessed and that God has spoken to your heart. If there's any way you have defaulted in whatever manner, there is chance to speak to God, to tell Him, Lord, just touch me. If there's any way that I have defaulted, if there's any way I have sinned as doing something contrary, completely contrary, there is His mercy, His grace is available. And I pray for us that we will not be an instrument of abandonment. Yes. You will not be abandoned in the name of Jesus. And the devil will not use us to sow seeds of discord in the church in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Wow, wow, wow. Please, can we put our hands together for the Lord again? How I wish that this was a Sunday service, so that we have a fuller house, because this is a word from the throne. I pray the Lord will continue to bless you, increase His unction upon you in Jesus' name. Please, before we